Proverbs 31. You say, where else would you turn, Pastor? Well, I had several in my mind, but I think it's appropriate for us to go here today. This is a beautiful poem beginning in verse number 10, going down to the end of the chapter, Proverbs 31. It, like several of the Psalms, is set up on the Hebrew alphabet, and it's an acrostic, so every verse here begins with the next Hebrew letter. If I can put it this way, it starts with A and B, and then it goes to G. That's how the Hebrews work it, all right? So it's out of order in our English mind, but it's meant to be a memory tool to help the children of Israel know this characteristic and this person, the virtuous woman, well. It became a very much of tradition in the home. So remember, Sabbath would, for the Jews, start Friday night, sunset. I still have in my mind, it's probably, I don't know, I've not been a part of Jewish culture, but I think of Fiddler on the Roof, and remember they're hurrying, scurrying around the house trying to get ready for Sabbath to start. And then they find it's like, you know, Dad's going crazy. I could see myself and him getting all angry. Come on, get this place together. And then it's like calm, cool, and collected, like this is all under control. And that, anyways, I see that. And one of the first things they would do as the Sabbath would begin on Friday nights would, as a family, quote this poem. And what an honorable thing to do in a home, a good tradition to praise Mom for who she is. Because the reality was, Mom got it all together, not Dad. And I think Fiddler on the Roof showed that very well. Right? Anyway, what an amazing picture of godly women. So this morning, I want us, I'm going to do something that's a little maybe out of characteristic in the sense that I'm going to not just read the scripture and go through it verse by verse. There are some themes that come to light here that Solomon, if it was him that wrote this poem, that Solomon put together that we can see if I can organize it in a more logical Western thinking instead of acrostic poem thinking. So we're not even going to read the passage verse by verse today. We're going to touch them as we go. But I want us to, as a congregation, to do what verses, let's go down to verse 28 for me real quick. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and praiseth her. May we today, in our minds, as we sit here and listen to the Word of God as a church family, get in our minds what I can praise Mom for. And my encouragement, the application today, I don't know, maybe I won't have a direct come forward invitation, maybe I shouldn't, is for you to go home and to tell Mom some things that you learned from God's Word today that you're thankful for. Something about her that she fits the virtuous woman, the valuable, precious lady, and thank her for it. You should praise her. Husbands, God has given you children by your wife. You better praise her. She is worthy of much honor, all right? So may we do that. He goes on, verse 29, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Now, I may park here for a minute later. You say, well, wait a second. There can only then, if there's, you know, there's only one that excels, right? You know, we're used to having, you know, competition, and somebody ends up on top. And just, no, that's not the idea here. The idea is husbands in particular, and children in particular. God, in His perfect design, has given you your mom. You'll say, well, I didn't have a choice. Well, then you better thank God for that. Because you'd have blown it, probably. And when we consider our own home, Mom is the most virtuous one, the one of all honor. So that, in that sense, as the wise man wrote this poem, it should be very true. I can, without lying or deceiving, I can say that my wife, the mother of my children, she excels them all because she's made specifically for us. We need her. And in fact, if Mom wasn't there, life would fall apart. And the mom that God, and that's true for every home. That's the joy. Every home with a godly mom, a virtuous woman as the mom and the wife, that home excels. And she is most praiseworthy. So let that be on our heart and mind today as we think through these. So as we walk through, there are what I would call probably three major themes that come to light about the virtuous woman. And I think this is in proper order. So verse The first point is that faith, her faith matters. Let's go to verse 30. Favor is deceitful. The outward, the charm, it may actually belie what is really in the heart. A woman may look beautiful externally, but not have a right heart. Favor can be deceitful. Beauty is vain. We live in a society that wants to pretend that we don't grow old. All right? And don't, please don't buy that. There is something far more beautiful than the external. Beauty is vain. It's a passing, fleeting thing. Anyone, 30 years old and older will know that real well. We are like the circus king who I won't say exactly his quote, but he said, I can get money out of anybody. They'll all believe anything I do. And the commercials out there, there are entire industries built on the fact that they're trying to make you believe that somehow you can be beautiful after 30 or after 25. Or for some of us, that you ever even thought you could be beautiful. All right? Okay. All right. Beauty is vain. Beauty is vain. It's empty. So what is it about the woman that is so precious, that is so commendable? So favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. The response of the heart of a dear mother and wife who fears God, she's in submission to her Savior King. That is the most precious gift that a mom can give her family. Moms today, please, please fear God. There was a time with my first wife, with Deb, and I'm one that things are like flying through my mind a million miles an hour, and if I don't stop and, they're just like, oh, I need to tell him or her this. And so there were times, I'd get up in the morning and I'm going about my day, my devotions have started. I'm one of these guys that devotion kind of bleeds through the entire day generally. It's done by evening, all right? And I don't mind that. I'm supposed to be praying always, all right? So that happens. I start it on purpose, spend some time in God's Word and prayer, but it keeps on going. Well, Deb was not that way. She had to stop. And I remember one morning coming to her and say, Deb, and I was about, and she said, she just stopped me. David, leave me alone. Wait a second here. Who's in charge of this home? And she said, I don't want to hear anything else right now. I need to just hear from the Lord. And my heart was rebuked, rightly so. And there was a time every morning where the kids and I knew, leave Mom alone. She was fearing God. And that's the way it should be. Now, we all manage our lives differently, but may every one of you mothers here today have that type of faith, that you fear God, that He is your King, He's your Lord, and you're going to follow Him. Let's go down to verse number 10, or up to verse number 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. That word virtuous is a powerful term. It would often speak of a man would be called virtuous because he was a man of valor, courage, and strength. He was noble in character, and that's the same idea here. A virtuous woman, who can find a virtuous woman? And what Solomon is saying here is that that is a rare commodity. It's not that you can't ever find it. But it's something that's very, very rare, and we should love that. Ladies, would you become that rare one? Dads and children here today, if you've got a virtuous woman as your mom, as your wife, oh, may we consider her price far above anything else. If that dear woman needs something in her home to manage it well. Thank you, Ron, for your scripture reading this morning. That was powerful. Then, guys, maybe you should give up that little hobby thing that you want to do, spending the money there, and her price is far above ruby. She's more valuable than any antique car, any tool in your garage, any toy that you like to play with, or game you want to go to. Her price is far above rubies because she's virtuous. Her character is noble before her King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and worthy of praise. May we give her that praise. Verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She is clothed with strength, yes, in every area of her life, physical, personal, social, spiritual. Glory and majesty, that's the word honor there, glory and majesty surround her. She does not fear the future because, not because she's wealthy, not because she's got everything in order and so she's got all of her I's dotted and her T's crossed in life and so I've got it all together, there's nothing that come my way. No, that's not at all. Strength and honor her clothing. She is living in wisdom before God, honorably before her King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There is no fear of the future because she knows Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. She knows that the future is not in her hand, but in the hand of her great God and Savior. She's a woman of faith. That's what we're talking about today. To rest in hope is an amazing gift from God, and it only comes, folks, this is for all of us, it only comes when you know God, who He is, and what He's doing. And so in the minuscule moments of our daily living, no matter what comes our way, we can live with strength and honor because of our God, not because of who we are. And the virtuous woman has discovered that. This world can fall apart, and she won't. Not because she's strong in character, not because she has strength in her own soul. No, because she has a strong God who is empowering her and guiding and directing her. That's a pretty powerful verse. There's no fear of the future. She'll rejoice in time to come. May God give us women like that. You know, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. Ladies, put your trust in the Lord. Let me stop here for a moment just to get, let's make sure that we have the foundation right. Ladies, anyone here today, is Christ your Savior? That's where life begins. That's where the life of faith begins. Have you turned from your sin and trusted Christ alone? You can't, ladies, you can't do this. You can't be the virtuous woman without Christ living in your life and soul. And when does that happen? At salvation. This virtuous woman is, for you to live up to those character qualities and that ideal is impossible in yourself. You're a sinner. You fail, just like us guys do, right? And without Jesus Christ being your Savior, this is an impossibility in your life. Now, come to trust Christ as your Savior. Turn from your sin. Trust Him alone for eternal life. Accept the finished work of Christ on the cross of Calvary, His death, burial, and resurrection as your salvation. And that moment, God's Spirit indwells you. You have eternal life. And you can live in the hope that's described here at the end of verse 25. She has no fear of the future. It's not because there's no problems in her world. It's because she has the great problem solver in her life. It's because God is with her. And she knows the end of the story. Now, to me, that's very amazing to be said in the book of Proverbs and not at the end of the New Testament. Even though the revelation of God had not been completed at this moment, there was enough of Scripture and truth that she could rest in her God, that her God is a God of hope, and I can trust Him. You know, again, I'll pick on not Abby today, but my first wife for a moment, because it's a stark reality. When Deb was facing all the cancer years, and then when she was dying, that hope was a precious gift to our family. We got wonderful texts this morning. If my kids are watching, I'm going to pick on you for a second, but some very, very sweet texts. Darcy started it all. She's up before. She's in Wales. All right, so she's 6 hours ahead of us. And we get this text, you know, praise God for all the moms in our family. And she calls it mom number one, mom number two, and then Melissa and Danae are my daughters, daughter-in-law and daughter, right, that have children. And she was pointing out the characteristics of each of them and how they are turning the hearts of their children to the Lord and trusting the Lord. When Deb passed, it was not a happy day. There's a hole in my life to this day still. Abby can't quite fill that. She's my wife, and I love her dearly. But there's a Deb hole. That's this life. We have those things in our life. All of you probably, if you've lived long enough, have some kind of hole. But I'm glad that that Deb hole is filled with the Lord, because Deb had hope in the Lord Jesus Christ and taught us that through her life teaching and through her living. And so we look forward to the day. And I can say it without too many tears at this moment, because I know I'm going to see her again one day. Now, you guys, you think you're henpecked with one wife. Wait till you get to heaven and you got two talking about you. Yes, yes. You know, I know that heaven's going to be perfect, but I suspect I'll be the brunt of a few jokes between Deb and Abby. Rightly so. I'm such a miserable mess, it took two ladies to try to straighten me out. All right, there you go. Anyways, what a joy. And I'm glad for that. Ladies, please. If you don't catch anything else this morning, please be a lady of faith like this virtuous woman. She feared God. She was a woman of great character because she trusted her God and was noble following him. She lived in hope because she knew the future. What a blessing. Now, point number two. Not only does faith matter, but character matters. Character matters. And I've got three major points here, and we'll talk about the verses. So number one, she's industrious. If you want to put it together in kind of an acronym or whatever, she's productive would be another word there. She's industrious or productive. So verse 11, I'm down to verse 11. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. She's not a waster. She's a producer. He doesn't have to go to battle to get spoil because his wife's not caring for the things at home. She doesn't waste a thing. She produces. She's not a burden. She's a blessing to her home. Ladies, you have an amazing job to do, and may you be industrious always, creative in how you provide for your family. The economy tanks, your home shouldn't. Now, we may not be eating steak, but you should be industrious enough to provide for your family, to be a part of that production. What do we got to do? All right, let's go get a cow. All right, let's go milk the cow. Let's go get some chickens and have some eggs at our house, whatever. She's industrious. She's not a waster. Verse 13, let's run down there. She seeks wool and flax, worketh willingly with her hands. She delights in her work, willing to get directly involved in caring for the needs of her family. Verse 24 is kind of a subset. Verse 24, she maketh fine linen and selleth it, delivereth girdles unto the merchants. She's actually using her gifts and the work in her home to be a business enterprise. The fine linen would be what we call that outer layer, that linen wrap that was beautiful. The girdles were the belt. Both were worn by both men and women. You know, she found an industry that she could produce and still be a good mom at home, take care of all those needs, and yet be a productive, helpful influence in the home. It wasn't just dad bringing in the bread. Now, my caution, ladies, is don't say, okay, well, let me just go out and get a job and forsake my family. No, that's not your job, all right? But be industrious in what God has given you to do. I think of my mom now for a moment. And when dad especially, when we were young, dad was working, a profitable businessman. A mom had her nursing degree, and so she worked it out. She only had to work here and there. And it was always, when she worked, dad was always home. I very seldom had to put up with a babysitter. A babysitter very seldom had to put up with me. Okay? And I'm grateful for that. Mom and dad were always around. Well, dad goes into the work of the ministry. He's got to go to Bible college to train and learn. And so now dad's in school. He's trying to work some part-time jobs. Works full-time in the summer. Mom, praise God for her nursing degree. And so, but she worked the schedule out around her family. there was, I'm sure there were some days. Dad and I, we don't ask us to cook in the kitchen, all right? We can follow a recipe, but, you know, it's just not a real, it's not our talent. Mom, and I can't hardly ever think of a supper, even though she was laboring, doing all those years where Mom didn't put the supper on the table. Take the time to make it, fix it all. I mean, I had lunches. Dad helped with those things. I had to wash and dry the sandwich bags. I mean, I can still do it in my sleep to this day. You know the ones with the flaps on it? And you say, why didn't you throw them away? Because we didn't have money. But we could use the bag again. I mean, it was like, it became almost a mark of pride because all the kids in school would make fun of me. I'm coming back with a brown paper bag again from 4 weeks ago, and it's still together. It's crinkled. And you know, you take out the plastic bag, and there's no holes in it. We're careful when you wash and dry them. You don't get any holes in it, all right? And you can still do that. And Michelle was the best washer. I was the best dryer on those bags. You get your fingers in there. Stay. All right, Mom was industrious and cared for us even in the midst of the work that God had given her to do to provide for the needs of our home. I'm glad that Mom was there. I don't know about you, but I needed that. And I'm grateful for that. So, involved in business enterprises. Verse 14, go there. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She is creative and abundant in providing for her family's needs. You get up in the morning, it's like, cereal again? And for some of you, that's okay. It's okay, I don't have cereal. Moms, why don't you provide for your families in creative and abundant ways? Make you know, okay, so you know in my house, my grand, ask Drew and Dory, they just spent the night, Thursday night, at Grandpa and Grandma's house. Guess what they had for breakfast? Swedish pancakes. It's like the highlight. And Mom, Grandma's up, you know, in the morning, all right, making Swedish pancakes. Now, do those kids deserve those Swedish pancakes? No. But Grandma loves them, and she provides abundantly for them. It didn't cost a lot, but she was extravagant in her giving and caring. Moms, be that way. That's a part of your industry. She manages everything well. I mean, when you're talking about she's like a merchant ship that comes from afar bringing her food, that takes some time and effort, some preparation and diligence to care for the needs in the home, some foresight. It's not like, okay, I forgot to do my mom job today, so what do we do for supper tonight? It takes foresight and thinking. I very rarely met a mother that doesn't have some kind of schedule, whether it's on their phone or and they've got things all written out. You know, the great planner for the week. Keep it up. Thank you. That's an industrious mother. Verse number 15. She riseth also while it is yet night, giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She lives a life that is both diligent and disciplined. She's not slothful, not lazy. Our culture today teaches everyone to be lazy, to be bums. Thank God for godly moms who are diligent in their work, disciplined in their labor, willing to sacrifice their own sleep, their own time, in love of their family. May she continue to do that. Verse 16, she considereth a field and buyeth it, and the fruit of her hands, with the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. She's a planner, and she uses what she has to get increase. She's not a foolish person in her purchasing or in her indebtedness. She actually helps the family be productive. What she helps her children to learn, what do you have, what God given you ability to do? Well, get at it. Develop their abilities to care for themselves. Moms, so my mom was a nurse. She used that to help produce for our family so that dad could become a pastor, dad could be a pastor, all those things, and yet stayed faithful to her mom duties. Maybe you're not a nurse. Well, what can you do? I'll never forget Deb in the home, and Abby did the same thing. We got married. She's an executive assistant in a big commercial insurance company, all right? And what do we do? She can't just walk away from the job, so she's working in the home. So she can she's typing away all day, you know, handling claims, all that, whatever she did, writing stuff, but stopping to be industrious to figure out how I can be productive with the gifts and talents that God has given me so that the family can go forward to increase instead of becoming a weight or a burden. Moms, don't be a weight or burden in your home. Be the opposite. Be one that brings increase. She's industrious. Not only that, in that character matter, she's industrious, but secondly, she's strong. And the word really you could put, if you want the P word, is powerful. So productive, she's powerful. Look at verse number 17. It's the only verse we'll point out here. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. The picture is that in that day she would tuck in her robe, pick up her robe so she could get out of her way so she could do serious work. She builds her strength for the task at hand. She strengtheneth her arms. Develops talents and skills to produce for her home what's necessary and needful. Maybe, Mom, God has gifted you in your cooking skills. Well, don't forsake it. Use it. Be a blessing to your home. And maybe you know, I was going to say, sell out of your house. I realize there's all kinds of crazy government regulations for those things. Rah, 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 rah. Anyway, but be industrious that way. Be strong in your work. Be a good, strong mom. Be a student of being a good mother. Strengthen your hand there. Give yourself to the work that God has given you to do. Be at it. Thirdly, another character, she's good. Or the word is proper. Verse 12 now. She will do him, talking about her husband, good and not evil some of the days of her life. All the days of her life, she will consistently do good. Not evil. She's not mean. She's not bad. Ladies, can your husband say that of you? She's done me good all the days of my life. Or are there days where you make it hard on him? Unduly. Not rightly. Ladies, be good and help others be good. Verse 18. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She experiences and tastes that the product of her labor is good. It's the same word that we see the word good up there in verse number 12. She labors for what is valuable and rejoices to see it bring profit to her home and to her great Lord. Colossians 3:1, set your affection, ladies, on things above, not on things on the earth. Experience and labor for the fruit of faith in your home. Down in verse 22. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. The idea here is that she dresses appropriately for her responsibilities. Verse 23, her husband is known in the gate when he sitteth among the elders of the land. These two verses actually go together. Because she knows how to appropriately dress in the appropriate time, in the appropriate way, for her responsibilities, her husband then is known in the gate. She is in every way a beautiful character and a beautiful reflection of her great God. Her clothing is silk and purple. We live in a day and age where our society dresses like bums. May that not be who you are, ladies. God has appropriately made you beautiful. And your dress and your attire can accentuate that beauty. Not show it off, but accentuate it. Make it beautiful. And be appropriate. I look at you ladies here today, appropriately dressed for worship. I like that. Thank you. You look like you're here to serve and worship God. It's a high day for us. It's not a low day. I know it goes really against the grain of our culture, doesn't it? In fact, there are numerous churches that would say, just come hang out with us. Let's be bums. That's not God. He rejoiced that this dear virtuous woman clothed herself in purple and silk, not as a show-off, but as an appropriate response to her responsibilities in life. Now, Is there some appropriate times to be in jeans and a t-shirt and getting the work done? Absolutely. Don't wear purple and silk then, okay? Kind of mess them up. So wise and wisdom and all of that, so that your beauty, even outwardly, is rightly accentuated and rightly pointing back to your great God who loves you and made you. That's appropriate. Honor your husband even in that way, by appropriate attire. And then another good thing she does, verse 26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She speaks God's word. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Her words are, as we see here in that verse, in verse 26, with wisdom in her tongue is the law of kindness. She's kind and faithful in her instructions. Yes, a discipliner of her children, and yet it's always done just appropriately. Her neighbors love her because her words are kind. They love a relationship with her. The law of kindness is her. Why is it that children seem to flee to mom? I think some of it's just because she has this God-given knack, and as she's submissive to the Spirit of God, it comes out. She has this God-given knack of telling her children this is wrong, but doing it in such a way that they still want to hear it. Dads, we sometimes struggle about that. Now, yes, we need to be the force, the arm of God, I understand. But may we learn her ways some and speak the truth in love. Ladies, thank you. Let that be a wonderful characteristic of your goodness, of the goodness of God in your life, that the law of kindness, the words of wisdom, always come out of your mouth. When we think of a bad mother, we often think, in that picture, we think of words that are hurtful, unkind, and foolish. Ladies, don't let that come out of your mouth. Husbands, help your wives to be wise and kind. Let's go on finally to the final characteristic, all right? So her faith matters, her character matters, and then her relationships matters. And in many ways, this is the culmination point of the first two points. As she walks with God, her faith is strong, she's following the Lord. As that relationship with God develops good character in her life, strength, wonderful power and instruction, all right? It's reflected in her relationships with all those around her. So, what relationships matter? Well, her husband matters. Verse 11, we've already seen it, but now we look at the relationship. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall not have need of spoil. She is, for her husband, utterly trustworthy. She does him good, verse 12. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. This word good is a very broad term. Good in every way. It's a great way for us to describe what we would call love. The wife to her husband, the virtuous woman, is good. Loves him. Utterly trustworthy. I will tell you, folks, and I'm not ashamed of this, all right? When I deal with our deacons, as you know, Scripture makes it very clear that as you walk through the character qualities of a deacon, it includes discussion of the character of the deacon's wife. You go to 1 Timothy 3, you'll see it there. Not to be double-tongued, all those things of the characteristics of the wife. And so it's a delight to my soul when I talk to our deacons in private discussions. I can fully trust that when they discuss those matters with their wife, that I have no concern that the word will get out. They'll understand the seriousness of the matter, or maybe the privacy of the matter. They're trustworthy. I like that. Praise God for those types of ladies in our church who uphold their husbands. Their husband completely trusts them. Ladies, you should be that way. Now let me just bear a heart as a man. A lady that's not fully trustworthy brings her husband to ruin. I know that we have this characteristic in our society that men are supposed to be sturdy and strong and they can handle anything. They go to war, they can fight. But the reality is God has designed, and there's a part of this in every man, some to a greater extent, some to a lesser extent, but it's part of every man. We're this little boy inside that needs a pat on the head to say, you're okay, you're doing right. And if a husband doesn't have a trustworthy wife, his soul withers. You want to ruin a man? Don't be trustworthy with what he tells you. Ignore what he says, and you'll bring a man to ruin. We're that desperate of a person. May God, ladies, help you to be that trustworthy. When poor Abby, it was a, what's the right terminology? When we started dating, it was like she was getting inundated, bathed in fire. I would call her, and I had no one to talk to. Going through some challenges and struggles as I was trying to lead the church family as an interim pastor. And one of the things I realized really quickly is that her lip was zipped, and I could just bare my soul to her. It was one of the things, frankly, that was a joy and delight. So when I asked her, would you marry me, I couldn't wait to have a companion that would help me with all of my problems and know that there would be a strong arm that I could trust, a heart that loved me in spite of who I was, and cherished and helped me become the pastor that I am even to this day. And that's because she's trustworthy. Ladies, be that way. We need you. We're that desperate of a person. Praise God for trustworthy ladies. Her husband trusts in her. So verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Because she is trustworthy, verse 11, productive, verse 12, appropriate, verse 22, her husband is able to prosper in his calling and influence. This is God's design from creation. Remember the description that God gave of Eve? She was a help meet. A help, can I put it in a word that we would understand in our modern English? A help fit for Adam. He had some chinks in his armor. He wasn't everything. He wasn't God. And God created Eve to fit her so that he could have great, he could prosper in the work that God had called him to do. Men, you have a godly wife. Every one of us will praise God for her because she has helped us be better men, better in the jobs and the responsibilities that God has given us. And without her, we would not be who we are. That's just the reality. Oh, ladies, thank you for your help. Continue to help your husband. But not only is her husband relationship important, but her children relationship important. And let me hasten on. Verse 21. She is not afraid of the snow for her household. Now, her household includes, yes, her direct family, but includes any kind of other people that are in her home. So right now, in my home, Matthew is a part of our household, all right? Sorry, but it's a reality, all right? He's living with us, all right? There we go. And if Abby does her job right, she won't be afraid of snow in the winter. Thankfully, you're here in the summer. Anyways, she will care for him too. He's a part of the family function. Can I put it that way? Obviously, in this day, they would have servants in the home that would help with many things. And the wife, the good mother, didn't just care for her children. She loved everyone in that home. So I keep on going in verse 21. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household. Not just the children, but the maids, the hired hand. All her household are clothed with scarlet. She cares for and plans for the abundant provision for her family and anyone that's nearby. Isn't that amazing? Go on to verse 27. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. She alertly observes, that's the word looketh well, she alertly observes and diligently and wisely directs and serves her family. Therefore, she doesn't ever eat the bread of idleness. Mom, you always got something going. That's okay. Thank you. And when you're going, make sure that you're very careful to pay attention to and wisely direct and serve your family in your job. Now, verse 15. Not only is she concerned about her husband and her children and her household, but as an extension, I would call it her employees or her associates she's also concerned about. Verse 15. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and portion to her, what's the next word? Maidens. These were, in that day, household servant girls, and they were treated the same as their own family. I'm reminded of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. John, the disciple, is there. He says, John, behold your mother, as he points, well, he can't point, as he motions to Mary. Mary, behold your son. And what does it say of John? And he took her to his house that day and cared for her. Treated her as his own mother. And this is the characteristic of a virtuous woman. Can I put it this way? Everybody's her kid. There's a reality in which whoever God brings across her path, she's willing to serve and love as if they were her own children. My son right now, David, has a foster child in their home. Our sixth grandchild. We don't know. We may not see this child all the rest of his life. Kareem is his name. And yet I'm watching and rejoicing in Melissa. Ella is a big sister. Cora is a next big sister. Loving on this child. Giving him everything he needs. Giving him love that his own mother doesn't know how to give. And that's the way it should be, moms. You have that relationship. God brings people across your path. Love it. I've had some of you comment to me, Pastor, it's like you always have somebody in your house. Well, thank my mom for that. That's the way I grew up. I remember the famous story in our house. My cousins show up one day. They were in college in Chicago. We were up in Wisconsin. And they showed up unannounced. It was back before cell phones. I think we had a phone on the wall then, didn't we, Mom? Anyways, okay. That was a little joke. Never mind. They show up. What do you do? I mean, they're big college kids. They can put away food. Believe me, I know about that. We have these college kids that show up at our house every week, all right? They can put away food. Dad was in school, didn't have a lot, and she just almost with a laugh said, oh, here we were. It was like spring, but chili was on the menu for the night. It was a warm day. It was a warm day outside, but we're having chili that night. And Mom just laughed and said, oh, no problem. We can throw some more beans in the chili. Amen. Serving. Ladies, be that way. With anybody that God brings across your path. Finally, she's concerned about her neighbors. Verse 20. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. Her hand is one that labors and opens widely to give generously to those who are in real need, and she has the ability to meet that need. To the afflicted, to those of low degree or of low estate, she's there to help. No one's beyond the virtuous woman's care. What a sweet testimony that is. What a living out of the great second commandment. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. Thank you, ladies, for being that way. So in conclusion, we haven't read verse 31 yet. May we, if your mom, if the lady beside you in the church service here today, if she's that virtuous woman and you can find those virtues in her life, may we give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. This is a blessing. This is the final blessing for this blessed woman. Really, in a sense, a form of a prayer. Can I put it, can I kind of give you the Anderson translation? Can I do that, please? Lord, would you abundantly bestow upon her the fruit of her character and her labor? Let her reputation bring her praise. Early in the book of Proverbs, it's recorded in Proverbs 22:1. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor than silver or gold. Folks, today our responsibility is this. May we, like the wise proverb writer here, bring praise to the virtuous women that are in our life. Ladies, may you live a life in such a way that you are praiseworthy, that we can say of you, Lord, may you abundantly bestow on her the fruit of her character and labor. May her reputation bring her praise. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the careful listening these folks have given today. It's not been necessarily a super dynamic message, and yet it's your word, and it's your word on purpose. Father, thank you for the virtuous women that you've given to us in our church family. I presume and expect that several of the ladies that are visiting with us today have these character qualities in their life as well. Oh Lord, would you help our dear ladies to take these character qualities to life, that may their faith matter in their life. May their character matter. May their relationships matter. And then those of us that have the wonderful joy of observing those qualities in her life, may we give her praise. In your good plan and wisdom, as you've demonstrated even here, may we not be shy to thank Mom and praise Mom for all that she does for us and for who she is. So Lord, give us strength in this time to do what's right, even for our dear moms today. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Maybe you'd say, Pastor, would you pray that God would help me to give praise to the moms in my life? I sometimes hold my tongue and I shouldn't. She's worthy of praise, and would you pray that God would help me to give her the right praise, thanking her for her faith, for her character, for her sweet relationships. Is that your need to say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to do that. I want to be faithful to that. Anyone at all? Yes, amen. Amen. Several hands. Ladies, let me ask of you, is there something in our study of the virtuous woman that's pricked your heart? And you before the Lord would say, Pastor, would you pray that God would help me to become more virtuous? There's a point in my life where God has challenged me today, and I want to become more virtuous in that way. Any lady that say, that's my need today, Pastor, pray for me. Quietly raised hand. Yes, amen. 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 Yes, amen. Are you here today without the Lord Jesus Christ, whether lady or man? If you're not saved, the possibility of putting on good character is impossible, actually. Only through the work of God in your life. And of course, you live without hope, unlike the virtuous woman who can look forward to the future because she knows God, knows Him as His Savior, knows her, and knows Him as her Savior and Lord. Maybe they'd say, Pastor, please pray for me. That's my need. I want to come to Christ. I want to turn from my sin and trust Him today. Could I pray for you right now? My prayer won't save you. Your faith in Christ will. But you say, that's my need today. Could I pray for you anywhere at all? Lord, thank you for your word this morning. Take it and work in our hearts and lives. In your precious name we pray.